From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the lives of the apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. That will be followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning is found in John chapter 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. It is a sweet and blessed event which will occur to all believers in God's own time, the going home to be with Jesus. In a few more years, the Lord's soldiers who are now fighting the good fight of faith will have done with conflict and have entered into the joy of their Lord. But although Christ prays that his people may eventually be with him where he is, he does not ask that they may be taken at once away from this world to heaven. He wishes them to stay here. Yet how frequently does the wearied pilgrim put up the prayer, Oh, that I had wings like a dove! Or then would I fly away and be at rest. But Christ does not pray like that. He leaves us in his Father's hands, until, like shocks of corn fully ripe, we shall each be gathered into our Master's garner. Jesus does not plead for our instant removal by death, for to abide in the flesh is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. He asks that we may be kept from evil, but he never asks for us to be admitted to the inheritance in glory till we are of full age. Christians often want to die when they have any trouble. Ask them why, and they tell you, because we would be with the Lord. We fear it is not so much because they are longing to be with the Lord, as because they desire to get rid of their troubles. Else they would feel the same wish to die at other times, when not under the pressure of trial. They want to go home, not so much for the Savior's company, as to be at rest. Now it is quite right to desire to depart if we can do it in the same spirit that Paul did, because to be with Christ is far better. But the wish to escape from trouble is a selfish one. Rather, let your care and wish be to glorify God by your life here as long as He pleases, even though it be in the midst of toil and conflict and suffering, and leave Him to say when it is enough.
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Judas Iscariot, the Man Who Kissed But Missed Christ, the last in this series of studies of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's difficult to understand how Judas, whom the Lord Jesus personally chose to be one of his disciples, could have been the man whose very name conveys the epitome of treachery. How could Judas have walked with Christ for 3 years, have listened to his preaching, seen his miracles, and yet betrayed the Savior to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver? Judas despised the great privileges that were his. He was governed by evil passions. He was a man with no conscience. Although the Lord Jesus appealed to him in many ways, it was of no use. As he does with many sinners, the devil convinced Judas that there was no hope for him. Yet, there is hope for all who will trust in Christ. Now, with the next portion of this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
As soon as the Lord Jesus spoke of his burial, As soon as Judas understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to the cross, he said, "Enough! I will not serve a crucified Savior." Here was a man who was gripped by the here and now. Here's a man who demanded the wealth and the ease and the pomp and the power and the circumstance of earthly position. If the Lord Jesus had said, "Right, get your swords together, we're going out to fight the Romans," I believe that Judas Iscariot would have been right there by his side. You see, you can be a thief and a vagabond and fight the Romans and stand up for God's church. But to walk the way of the cross demands that you be a new creature. Judas Iscariot, even though he was in the very personal presence of Christ, was still governed by evil passions. And then his third sin, he lived a life of empty pretense. Now, I'm going to be very, very straight and very, very honest tonight. And as I describe Judas Iscariot, I trust that every man and woman amongst us will hold this word up and say, "Lord, is this a mirror image of myself?" From the very start, Jesus said he was a devil, not a demon. Preachers have preached from that text that he was already demon-possessed. There's not a word about a demon in that text. The word is a devil. He's not calling him Satan. He's simply saying he was a false accuser. Yet, this false accuser went through all the motions of discipleship. He was a thief. He stole enough money to buy that little holding outside Jerusalem. Yet, he spoke piously of the poor. After the woman had anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with a view to his burial, Judas sought opportunity to betray him. He was out concocting a plot to sell Christ. Yet, he came back into the presence of Christ and he pretended to be his loyal disciple. When the Lord Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me," and all the disciples were stirred up to ask, "Is it I?" Judas turned a baby-like face upon Christ and he said with pretended innocence, "Lord, is it I?" Finally, in Gethsemane, as he came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, even then he said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Had he pointed him out? Had he slunk off into the background and said, "That's him, the third from the left," I would have said Judas had some conscience left at that stage. But to walk boldly into the presence of Christ with this bunch of murderous thugs behind him, to say, "Hail, Master," and kiss him, shows you that to the end, Judas lived a life of empty pretense. Now then, let's have a good look at this. Did I not tell you that Judas was far from unique? What shall we say of the millions across America tonight who have all the words but nothing of the heart of the gospel? What shall we say of those people who know how to act in public, but their heart is as hard against Christ as Judas's heart ever was? What shall we say of those who are making their religion a cloak to cover up wickedness that the very devil might blush at? What shall we say of ourselves? I want to tell you tonight, my friend, if your religion gives a life of an empty pretense. Listen very carefully. It's the same religion as Judas Iscariot's. He despised great privileges. He was governed by evil passions. He lived a life of empty pretense. And he ignored Christ's frequent warnings. Here was a man eaten by greed. The Lord Jesus looked at Judas and all the rest. And I can't help but think when the Savior spoke these words and others like them, that his eye did not particularly focus upon Judas. There's a little, I suppose this is a reading into it, but as a preacher, there are times when you get into the pulpit, and I must say I never prepare a message for any particular person. I prepare what God would give me. But nonetheless, if I am sent to a place, maybe God has given me a message, I don't know why he has given me it, and say I'm denouncing a particular sin, and I find that somebody walks in there, and that's their sin, it's almost impossible that I don't catch their eye. It's almost impossible. If I know anything of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have been looking for Judas's eye. And he said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." He spoke of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Judas heard all this, and yet he steeled his heart, and on he went. And then think of this. We have read tonight already from the Gospel of John, but turn with me to chapter 13. Verse 21, Jesus, when he had thus said, was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Put yourself in Judas's position. And that was an appeal from Christ to Judas's conscience. One of you shall betray me. Now I come down to verse 26. They were asking, "Who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Listen, here's the irony in this passage. When a host had a company of people with him and dipped the morsel and gave it to one, he was making him the guest of honor. He was giving to that man the special treatment, that singular acknowledgement. It was an act of kindness. It was an act of love. It was an act of friendship. I know that in this case, it was an act of identification. But what Christ chose to do was to dip the sop that the host would give to a dear friend and hand it into the hands of Judas. And in that, his last appeal, there was an appeal to Judas's heart, an appeal to his conscience, an appeal to his heart. But Judas was unmoved. And it was then, that's why I drew your attention, after the sup, Satan entered into him. My, I want you to get how terribly serious this is. When the Lord comes and gives warning upon warning upon warning, when He challenges the conscience, when He challenges the heart, and a man continually denies the Word of God and the call of God and the voice of God, as he shuts his heart to Christ, he's throwing it wide open to the devil. Immediately after the sup, Satan took over. Judas was a long time reaching that point, but at last he reached it. To ignore the Word of God is to abandon yourself to sin and to the devil. There's one final warning. The Lord Jesus spoke in the ears of Judas. And in Matthew 26:24, he says, "The Son of Man goes as it's written of him, but woe to that man by whom he's betrayed. It were good for him that he had never been born." And yet Judas still closed his heart. Do you remember the last miracle that Judas ever saw Jesus do? Was it not also a prophetic warning? When the Lord Jesus cursed the barren fig tree, Judas saw it. In many ways, I don't say this is the interpretation, but I say if you were Judas, in many ways, you look at that fig tree and you're looking at yourself. With all the profession, but yet without spiritual fruit. So he ignored frequent warnings, and then he sold the Savior, and he sold his soul. Now that's his sin. Quickly, let me say a word about his sorrow. When he realized what he had done, he said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. The devil's very good at leading people on into sin. But once he gets them there, he torments them in their conscience and in their mind for the very sin that he led them into. That's what he did with Judas. The difference between the Lord's conviction and the devil's torment is very simple. When the Lord convicts a man of sin, it is to lead him to an utter hopelessness in himself, but it is to show him the glorious hope of the gospel in Jesus Christ. When the devil torments a man for his sin, it is to show him his utter hopelessness and then to convince him that there is no hope in Christ for him. That's exactly what was happening to Judas. So when he went to his partners in crime and he threw down the money, he was looking for some sympathy. But he found out what many another man has found. The people you go to hell with care nothing for your soul. The people you get out into the world with, they care nothing for your soul. The barman that sells you the booze doesn't care 2 cents for your soul. No. What is that to us? See thou to that. They had squeezed the last drop of usefulness out of Judas, and then they dismissed him without a thought. That's the way the world works. That's the way this crazy, filthy generation works. You go the way of the world, and they will wring the last drop out of you that they can use, and then cast you off like a filthy clout and let you perish.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.